Well, this is, as things stand, my final Christmas message. 14 in a row. And I set myself a target that I would never repeat a Christmas message. And it's probably just as well that I'm retiring. But we've got there. But one of the things we've considered over the last 14 years is we're now familiar with most of the biblical texts. And as I reviewed all those various messages coming this morning, I find myself asking, if I had to summarize Christmas and what it was really all about biblically, what would I say? And of course, when I answer that question, perhaps an equally important question immediately follows it, because it asks, is what it says biblically about Christmas relevant to you and I living in the world in which we live? Now, when it comes to the date of Jesus' birth, the Bible is actually silent. There's lots of speculation and lots of ink has been spilled with regard to shepherds being on the hills in the winter and how that wouldn't have been the case. And the truth is, it's impossible to be definitive as to when in the year Jesus was born. There's an interesting tradition from the earliest days of the church that Jesus was conceived and died on the same date. And if you go back 9 months from, Sophie, you're obviously doing the maths immediately in your head, you end up where? The 25th of March. What is the 25th of March, anyone? There's not a good Catholic amongst you. Hey, the Feast of the Annunciation. And that has been so. From the 25th of March, they celebrate the conception of Jesus. And then 9 months later, I mean, being Jesus, of course, he would have been born exactly on time and all the rest of it. On the 25th of December, that's one tradition. Another tradition in the church, and one for which we probably get a lot of criticism, is to do with the winter solstice. Now, this actually falls on the 21st to the 22nd of December. It's the shortest day of the year. And for time immemorial, as it were, this has been celebrated by various pagan festivals. And so people say, well, Christmas is just an adopted pagan festival. There is an element of truth in that, in the sense that since the early Christians believed that Jesus was the light of the world, and that whole pagan festival was the celebration of light, of the days getting longer, then Christmas as we have it today seemed a perfectly reasonable time to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And along the way, we took over some of the pagan customs and gave them a Christian meaning or an application. Holly, mistletoe, even Christmas carols all have their roots in the old pagan festivals, as it were. But the reality is that the early church never celebrated Christmas at all. It wasn't until 336 after Jesus, well after Jesus had died, risen, and gone to heaven, during the reign of Emperor Constantine, who, George, please tell me he was the first Christian emperor, was he? Good. I always get nervous when you've got an archaeologist and you're, you know, he keeps correcting me if I get anything wrong. But anyway, that was actually the first Christmas that was celebrated. But whatever view you take, it's very hard to miss that the celebration has to do with moving from darkness into light. And I think that's wholly appropriate. And it brings me back to my question. What is Christmas really all about biblically? Put simply, the Bible is God's word given to us by God, and it records God's relationship with his people from creation all the way into eternity. And right at the beginning, in the opening chapters of Genesis, we're told that the relationship between God and his creatures was marred by sin. And from that point forward in the Bible, the theme of darkness and light is ever present. As the Old Testament looks forward to God's solution, and then the New Testament establishes the reality of that solution in the person of the God-man, Jesus Christ. So John writes in 1 John 5, God is light, and in him there is no darkness. And that points us all the way back to Genesis. And we note that in Genesis, before the creation of the sun and the moon and the stars, we are told, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning on the first day. There is no sun at this point. There is no moon at this point. There is no stars at this point. The light was the revealed glory of God himself. And it's interesting that we will come back to that at the very end of time. And the opposite of light, of course, is darkness. And John Milton gave us the phrase that's become movies and books, the Prince of Darkness, in his poem, Paradise Lost. And in that, he's referring to Satan as the embodiment of evil. So you have God, the source of complete light, and you have Satan, the Prince of Darkness. And so God's people have ever looked to God for light. So Psalm 18 and 28 tells us, for it is you who light my lamp. The Lord, my God, lightens my darkness. Psalm 112, verse 4, light dawns in the darkness for the upright. And then the prophets, likewise, all look forward to the incarnation and the second coming of Jesus. And they do it in the same sense of darkness and light. And so we have that reading that we had last Sunday at our carol service, Isaiah 9 and verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them his light has shined. And that is speaking of every single one of us this morning that knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And indeed, those very same words were quoted in Matthew chapter 4, verse 16, at the start of Jesus' ministry. And then we have the prophet Joel in 2:31. The sun shall be turned to darkness. Pardon me, the moon to blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And Micah 7 and 8 says, rejoice not over me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. And that carried on right into the New Testament to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, who prophesied in Luke 1:78, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And then from the lips of Jesus himself, in John chapter 8 and verse 12, we read words that we're all so familiar with and we will be looking at next June. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And the contrast between darkness and light was displayed very aptly, of course, as Jesus gave his life on the cross. That moment of great darkness when the Father looked away from the Son as the Son, now a grown man, took our sin upon himself. And we're told now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land and the ninth hour. So we might quite reasonably say that the timing of Christmas in relation to darkness and light is perfect, because the light of the world takes on flesh and enters our world. His world, really. He was the one who created it. And yet he comes as a little baby in humility. And then we have to ask, is this still relevant to you and I today? Now, more and more, the world around us would say no. More and more, the world would say, we don't mind singing carols, but we don't need Jesus. Instinctively, the answer to that question has to be another question. Is the world around us today embracing darkness or light? Is the world around us today any different? Has anything changed since John said these words in John 3:19? And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. In relative terms, you and I live in a very prosperous and a very peaceful part of the world. And yet, as you look around us spiritually, are we in darkness or are we in light? Jesus gives us a warning that applies every bit as much to us today as it did to those who first heard it. John 12:35. So Jesus said to them, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. And those are very, very true words. Have you ever tried to find your way around in the dark? It's nigh on impossible if it's really dark. You know, the one time during my army service when I actually got enough sleep every day was when I was an instructor in the jungle. And I taught in the jungle warfare school. And the wonderful thing about jungle warfare was everything stopped at 6 o'clock. And everything didn't start again until 6 o'clock the next morning. You made sure before it got dark you had stopped, you had put your hoochie up for the night, you had cooked your evening meal, you'd done all of that, because after it got dark, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. We were in secondary jungle in Central America, and no light. Movement was absolutely impossible, and so you just stopped. And you know, our lives can be like that. The world around us is like that. It's darkness. And the more we get sucked into it, the darker everything around us becomes. But then Jesus gives us a promise that is as valid today as it was then. John 12:46. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Do you know that moment in my life when the veil fell from my eyes and I realized that the God I had been taught about when I was at Sunday school, the God I had rejected as a young man completely, was actually a God who loved me and a God who had actually now switched the lights on in my heart. A God who had opened my eyes that I could see my need of a Savior. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Are we going to fumble around in the darkness? Or are we going to go to the light that is Jesus Christ? And Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 4 and 6, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone into our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." I spent so long reading my Bible to look for contradictions, to grab everything and try and deny the reality of God, until I realized what I needed to do was to come and receive from God the faith I needed to believe in him. This Christmas is that light shining forth from you and I. This morning you may be discouraged, but I want you to remember from our reading, John 1 and 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And I can tell you with complete confidence this morning, darkness will never overcome it. There's a wonderful truth about light. Darkness can never envelop light. It can't put it out. The light will always penetrate the darkness. No matter how flickering our candles may be on occasion, it will remain lit, because our light is the light of the world. And we see the ultimate realization of this as we move to the end of our Bible and we look forward to the return of Christ. We find that we are taken back to Genesis, to the early creation order. And there we're told in Revelation 21 and 23, "And the city has no need of the sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb." See where we are? All the way from Genesis to Revelation. And God is again our light. And we have the promise that it's going to be like that for eternity. Revelation 22 and 5, "And the night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign." This is you and me in Christ. "They will reign forever and ever." If you want a very simple illustration of the contrast with that, it's complete and utter darkness. So this Christmas, let's hear the words of Paul to the church at Rome. Romans 13, 12. "For the night is far gone. The day is at hand. So let us then cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." Let's pray. Oh, Father God, that this truth would be stamped on our hearts, that in those moments of great weakness and frailty, we might see the light that is Jesus Christ. We might see the light that is your own glory, Lord. That one day, Lord, the wonder is that we will be able to behold it at all because of its brightness. Oh, Lord, I pray for all who are struggling with their faith or their lack of it. I pray that you and you alone would touch them deep within, that you would shine your light within the hearts that need your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name.